Good morning, everybody. I had to ring it a lot because it's Jesus' birthday. Happy birthday, Jesus. So we're here celebrating that, and we're happy you're with us. So let's welcome everybody and talk about the announcements. So let me get my glasses on. So prayer meeting, we always have that on Wednesday night, so we'd love for you to join us with that. Go ahead. And if you'd like to be added to the GroupMe, all the info's there, and so you can join that and see Debbie. She's the high-tech person. So that would be good. And the Gales Creek Gleaners is always on Wednesday, and so we'd love for you to come over and see what's available and be ready to get right in there, because they get right in there. So we'd be happy to have you there. And then in January, we're canceling the potluck, but it will resume in February. And that's going to be our church potluck. And that's the second Sunday of each month. And so the next one will be February 12th. So you can put that on your new calendars for 2023. Yes, 2023. Oh, my gosh. And then we have the community potlucks, and so we're not sure of the next date, but it's usually a Thursday of every month, and so we will let you know what that will be for January. And don't forget to check back there and get your Christmas cards in the mailboxes back there, so we have those going on. Okay, Debbie's saying that you might want to check your first name and your last name in case they just went by the first name, like Scott, or the last name. Scott, check your cards. Oh, he doesn't. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the Lord in prayer and be so thankful of this day we have to celebrate. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your Son for us as we celebrate that today. We just want to remember that that is the real reason for the season. And so just thank you for that, Heavenly Father. And thank you, Jesus, for being there and taking all of that on for us. Now be with us today as we celebrate that wonderful, wonderful moment, and bless everyone that's here and that can hear and see. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we're so happy to be able to say, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So happy everybody's here today, and welcome everybody that's out there. And now we're going to have our Advent candle, and Linda's going to do the last one today for us.
Get after.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Do you know what your name means? When Jesus was born, he wasn't given a name because it was unusual or because it meant something. His name described who he was and what people were hoping for in him. The name Jesus means that he came to save people from their sins. Our Heavenly Father actually chose this name because he had a great plan for everyone in the world. You see, he loved everyone, And why wouldn't he? Especially after creating the entire world. But unfortunately, over time, a problem arose. This thing called sin had been influencing and affecting the world, and even when people tried not to sin, they still did. The problem with sin is it gets in the way of people receiving God's love, and for justice to exist, someone needs to pay the penalty for sin. What is fantastic about our Heavenly Father is that He doesn't give up too quickly. In fact, He doesn't give up at all. He is always keen for people to receive His love, so He put a plan in place, a plan that meant the price of sin would be paid and our relationship with Him would be restored. John 3:16-17 says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him." The love of our Heavenly Father means every person in the world who trusts in Jesus can have a forever relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Living with God means that our life in heaven will be one without any sin, without any pain, without any suffering, without any crying, and there will never be any more death. This is, in fact, the true gift of Christmas. The gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love are great gifts. And the greatest gift is that Jesus made it possible for us to live with God forever. So today we light the Christ candle. Because of Jesus, God's light shines in the world, and we celebrate Christmas. May we receive from Jesus the gift He has for us, and may we share this generously with everyone around us.
Yes. Good job.
All right, is everybody ready to sing? Yes, we get to sing at this time all these great Christmas carols, and so get ready because we're going to belt them. Yes.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with the family, sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring those bells, light the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember this your birthday. Celebrations come because of something good. Celebrations we love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem, the greatest celebration of them all. Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. Come on, ring those bells, everybody say, Jesus, we remember it's your birthday.
All right. That's okay.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet the words repeat.
Glory by, born that man no more.
Two words for all of you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas! That's right. Merry Christmas. Our Savior is born. Amen. The best offering ever given. Amen?
Amen.
Father, Lord, thank you for coming as a child, a little infant, to grow, to go through the trials of being a teenager, the tumult of a toddler, the heartbreak of humbling yourself to death. Lord, we can trust you for everything we go through because you came to be one of us. We celebrate this day. You came in the flesh. You loved us in the flesh. You understand our flesh. And you redeemed our flesh. Thank you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Midwinter, long gone ago.
to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place supplies. Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring do my part. Yet what can I give my heart?
Amen, brother.
And now, I've already used Merry Christmas, so I wish upon each of you a blessed new year. We get to go to prayer now together, and I know there's a lot of stuff to bring before our Lord and Savior. Hopefully some updates on Libby this week.
Seems to be doing a little bit better, but Libby's doing another course of some medications.
Okay.
I was very happy when Libby went and got some sleep last night.
Ooh.
Because that's unusual.
That's huge. Yeah. There's nothing more restorative than sleep. So pray for Libby to continue to have some good reactions to her medications and get sleep.
And Libby is a terrible insomniac.
Oh, man.
Like, most of the time.
Okay. So pray for her insomnia to go away and be able to recover. Bill.
We want to remember Judy's not here today. She was earlier. She's gone home. Her voice just hard enough. Difficulty breathing. Also remember Donna. Donna's not feeling very well this morning too. But we sure have a lot of praises to give you. God's been so good. So good. Through getting us home. Others, this interesting week we've had an interesting week. I just want to give God glory and praise. Very short and quick. Perfect.
Praise the Lord, yeah. Bill and I both had to drive in that stuff back home. My father-in-law was having a bad COPD flare-up, and he coughed so bad that he's pulled and strained and sprained all the muscles in his abdomen. And I think it was Monday night or Sunday night, one of those two, he didn't sleep all night long because he was coughing so bad. And so we ended up taking him into the ER. He has a little bit of fluid in the very bottom of his lung with a little tiny collapse there because of the fluid. And they think it's infection, so he's on antibiotics. He's responding well so far. Thank you, Lord, that this happened during Christmas break. I know Rhonda gets it that you're trying to deal with all this and still the day job in the classroom, and that's where I'm at. And, other people have other day jobs, and they're trying to take care of that, too. But, yeah. So prayer for my father-in-law and praise for Bill and I, who had to drive in that yuck to get home. We got back safe. I'm glad that happened. I came right out of the ER, and there was a spin-out accident right in front of me. Waited 10 minutes before I could keep going home. That's how bad it was that night. So I'm glad we made it home. And I'm really thankful for my family coming over. And we had my side of the family Christmas. And we'll have Sarah's side of the family Christmas today. And please pray for my littles. They're at home coughing. Not feeling really well. I didn't want them to come share whatever they're getting. So again. Thank God that happened during Christmas break. If you're going to get sick, don't do it during the school year.
Yeah.
If you can avoid it. Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
We miss her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So prayers continuing for Vicky to come through the grief. Anyone else?
Pray for Lori and Tom's family.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole family has been hidden. It has been taking turns passing a bug back and forth. You know, one of those violently bugs. And so it's been going on for over a week. One will be better, and then tomorrow will have it. And
yep.
Back and forth.
I'll be in prayer for Tom and Lori. They have a bug going around their house. And sometimes you have such a big household that it gets to the last person and you think it mutates and comes back around. Sometimes you just wonder. This gets crazy.
And as of right now, I think Tom is the only one who has not had it.
So prayer for Tom, the last man standing, literally. I've been there. Thank God for a wife who's been the last woman standing a couple times, too.
Yep.
Absolutely. So prayer for Tom and Lori as sickness goes through their house. Let's see. Anybody else? I know Debbie had quite an adventure getting back from the hospital after her surgery. I'm glad she made it back home safe.
Yes.
And all put together. It was a blessing to see you that morning. I just ran into Debbie at the hospital bringing Lou to the hospital. We didn't coordinate our calendars, right? And Lou's demands were so much that I didn't get to stop and pray with Debbie. Like I came out and I had to deal with something and I wanted to pray with Debbie and I didn't get a chance, so... Oh, sorry, Debbie.
I know you did.
But you knew it wasn't an accident. It's a God thing. And it was really good to see you there that morning. Yeah. Anyone else? Dawson. Dawson's just lifting up prayers for a new 3D printer. If you know him, he's one of those STEM kids. Science, tech, engineering, math. That's his world. And he's getting better at it than his dad ever was. So there's my praise. Yeah. Absolutely. A number of us are missing this Sunday, so. Prayer for why and how they're not here. Just, Lord, watch over them. Bless them this Sunday. Absolutely.
Pray for everybody who's missing family members, whether they're just not here or they're with Christ.
Yeah.
We've got a number of people grieving.
Yeah. Linda just wants to lift up all family members that are missing family members. It's been a rough 2 or 3 years. There's been a lot of loss of life, and there's a lot of holes in the guest lists, unexpected, this year. Anyone else? Claire turned 7. Thank God for that. Father, Lord, thank you for the many tender mercies you bring our way. Thank you that you never sleep, you never stop watching over us, you never stop guarding our pathway. You never stop pursuing us with your love. You never, ever stop working on our behalf. And that's each and every one of us all the time. Thank you for being just, righteous, merciful, and loving. Loving to the point of giving us your Son. Merciful to the point of sacrifice and salvation for us. Lord, there have been many needs expressed today. There's been some praises as well. But Lord, forgive us when we fallen short this last week. When we had a moment that we should have shared about who you are. Or a moment when we were short with our children or our spouses or our co-workers. Lord, help us all continue to grow no matter how much we have with patience, grace, kindness, mercy, hospitality, and understanding for those you bring into our lives. Lord, I lift up a couple of youth kids that I've been having conversations with back and forth. And Lord, we just ask that you knock on the door to their hearts and you get them here, Holy Spirit. Bring revival to this church. Bring revival to their families. Bring revival to this land. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and heal our body parts that are ailing. Heal our minds that are grieving. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And thank you for the many blessings you have given us, not just your Son, but finances, homes, especially when it's cold, and families to share them with. Lord, be with our government leaders at all levels. Holy Spirit, stand at the door of their hearts and knock, knock loudly, that they would open their hearts and you would impart wisdom so we all may benefit your prevenient grace. Thank you, Lord. And most of all, open our hearts today for what Pastor Teresa has for us to hear. Amen. All right, one kid. You're not going to do it? Come on. Anybody here a child of God?
Amen.
We're all kids. I don't know if I've outgrown anything. Nope, never will. Well then, you know what? Whether he comes up or not, we can all sing Happy Birthday Jesus together, can't we?
Absolutely.
There we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
That was pretty cool, singing Happy Birthday to Jesus. Although he's everlasting, right? His human birthday. Very fascinating. And it's totally awesome to today is the day we really celebrate. Christians all around the world are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We lit the Christ candle of the Advent wreath, and it's Christmas Day on Sunday. So, like, this is really cool because it's not just, oh, Christmas is sometime this week. It's actually Christmas today on Sunday when we, his believers, gather. So this is, I would say, the second best day in all of Christendom. Well, maybe it's the third best day. Resurrection and Good Friday, right? Resurrection probably would be number two. I'm saying Good Friday would be number two. Resurrection definitely has to be number one, right? Because if he didn't raise from the dead, he would just be an honorable prophet. But he's not. He's more than that. He is our Lord and our Savior. So thank you, those who are joining us through our social media. Lord bless you today. And let's jump into our scripture. You're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2. It highlights why this is the day that we celebrate as a whole community of believers. So turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. As always, choose your favorite, whichever you want to follow along in. And we'll begin with the verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Now, this was the first census taken since Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. And he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. Verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. The shepherds were terrified. But the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." And then suddenly, the angel was surrounded. He was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Wow. That is amazing and fascinating. This is what happened the day Jesus was born. It was the day that heaven came to earth. It's a beautiful scripture passage. And the day that heaven came to earth is significant for a few reasons. One, it testifies God's faithfulness. Two, it testifies who God is. And thirdly, it testifies who Jesus is. I mean, why are we celebrating his birthday if there's no significance to who he is? This passage tells us who he is. So, let's talk about God's faithfulness. Because this scripture, again, speaks to who God is and his faithfulness to us. After all the many years, all the generations of believers who thought they'd see the Messiah during their lifetime, but then reached a ripe age, they went to the grave hoping it would happen for the generation behind them. But on this day, according to this passage, the long-standing promise from Yahweh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, finally came to fruition. And from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden, God promised he would send a Savior. Remember what happened? He told Adam and Eve he would send one who would strike the enemy's head. He told them that in Genesis 13, which is generations before Christ finally came. Even the prophet Isaiah, among other prophets, talked about this Messiah who would come. He speaks of a son being born who would be a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That's what Isaiah writes. He also described in detail in chapters 52 and 53, when you go back and read Isaiah, the characteristics of the servant of God who will confound the powerful, suffer for our sin, and grant us a holy heritage. All of this laid out in the prophets long before Christ comes. And so there are many believers, many Israelites who wondered, is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the time when the Messiah comes? Who's going to be the Messiah? Will I see the Messiah while I'm alive? And yet generation after generation, they passed without them seeing the Messiah. So I'm sure there's some who gave up on, there's no Messiah coming. God said that a long, long time ago. There's about 700 years between Isaiah writing and the actual birth of Jesus Christ. 700 years, that's a lot of generations of people. It took a long time. Yet, this scripture shows us that God is faithful. Because it may have taken him a long time, but he did it. He is faithful and true. And his word stands. So it took a long time to get here, Sister Helen, but the Messiah came finally. And he calls a crowd to witness that baby being born. So it testifies to God's faithfulness, but also this passage, when you read back at it, it testifies again to who God is. And I know you've probably heard it explained that the angels went to the shepherds because they represent the disenfranchised. That's how I grew up interpreting it. That's how it was taught to me. The shepherds in that day were viewed as lowlifes, people who couldn't be trusted. They were despised and even declared unclean. But that's actually not historically correct. It's not historically accurate. David Croteau is a biblical scholar. He's a dean of Columbia International University Seminary and School of Ministry. He teaches New Testament and he teaches the Greek classes there. And this is what he says. What he reports is that the long-standing view of shepherds as outcasts is based on a non-Jewish view, and it also predates Jesus by 300 years. So that perspective doesn't really apply to the actual lived experience of the Jewish culture of Jesus' day. They didn't view shepherds like that. That's an outsider looking in and saying what shepherds are like. That is not how Jews saw shepherds. And I agree with the professor. He argues we should look for clues from biblical contemporary writings and, how about this, from the biblical text itself. And as I always say, look at the immediate text that you're reading, right? Because that's going to provide the context. But then, hello, you've got a whole big Bible, which supplies a greater context to that context. So don't forget. Don't get lost in traditions of men. Look at what the Bible says itself. So the professor reminds us to look at the scripture, and that's where I like to point us to. So when we read a little further in the account there in Luke chapter 2, where the shepherds go and tell what they've witnessed, when you get down to verse 18, it says this: all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Now, some would argue they're astonished because these are people who you shouldn't even believe whatever they say. They're not even allowed to testify in court. Well, if they're not allowed to testify in court, why would you believe what they said? So it's not because it's shepherds carrying the story why people are astonished. They're actually astonished at the story itself. Say what now? The long-awaited Messiah has finally come? That's why people are astonished. Not because they are shepherds who should not be believed. I believe the people were astonished at what the shepherds had to say because God had proven himself. He said he was going to provide a savior. And finally, on that day, on that very night, in a humble place, using humble people, God showed he was the good shepherd. The Old Testament, again, that's the Bible that the Jewish people used and read, full of references to shepherds. Some of the people God uses to lead his people, Israel, were shepherds. Father Abraham was a shepherd. You can read about his many flocks, his sheep, his goats, the cattle he had in Genesis 13. That's what made him a rich man. Moses tended sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. You remember that. Before he was called to be God's prophet, lead the conquered people of Israel out of Egypt. And of course, the one of the most famous shepherds, King David himself, was a shepherd. God used the image of shepherd to describe his relationship to his people. He chose shepherds from among them to lead his people in the important times. And even Jacob on his deathbed reminds his sons that God, Yahweh, is the good shepherd. See, when we think of it, because we have New Testament, we think of Jesus being the good shepherd, right? But God was the good shepherd from the beginning. And so Jacob says to his sons, you can read about it in Genesis 49. Verse 24 is where he says, he describes God as the shepherd who aided the warrior, and that's how the warrior was able to be victorious. And then many of us, again, are familiar with the passage the psalmist wrote in chapter 23 of the book of Psalms. Who is the shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Right? This is the view of shepherds that the Jewish people had. Mighty men of God and an image of God, his very self, was a shepherd. Shepherds were not viewed as less than or as outcasts. They were viewed as special people who reflected God's care for his people. And so, yeah, they had a job. It was a vocation just like any other vocation. But it was also special because it represented who God was to his people, a good shepherd, able to provide, able to protect, able to guide. So, when the group of shepherds run and tell others about their divine encounter, people believe them. They know the God of Scripture to be their good shepherd and a promise keeper. Amen? That's why they hear it and they go and tell it. Because God has finally answered. He is faithful to his word, even though it may take a long time, Sister Rhonda, for God to answer that prayer. Because I got a list, Sister Debbie. I'm like, when are you going to answer this one? But God is faithful. It may take a long time, but he's faithful. And he is our good shepherd. That's what we learn from this passage. But I also have to submit to you, before we leave this place today, that it testifies who Jesus is. He's not just some baby who was born illegitimately by Mary, who then happened to marry Joseph. That's not how that, it may look like that, but that's not who he is. So first, it shows Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. He is the Messiah. He is Emmanuel. We sang it in the song earlier. God with us. Not only is he our good shepherd, he is actually here with us. Now, I don't know if you've studied other religions or you know anything about other gods, but people don't have a relationship with God like we do with Yahweh, our God. He actually lives in our hearts. He lives with us. It's not like the other gods. And that's why Jesus is Emmanuel. The Messiah is not an unknown person. It's not a religious ideal. There are people who actually say that, Sister Lori. I don't know if you know that. But people say, oh, you know, this idea of the Messiah from the Old Testament, that's really not a real person. It's the idea, right, of how we all should be. But according to this text, God says, no, it's not just an idea. I know it took a long time, so that's why some of you believe it's just an idea. But no, he actually is a person. This is my only begotten son. And when you read that special word begotten in scripture, it's not just my only son, my only human son. It's actually my unique son. He's uniquely born. So unlike us who are sons and daughters, children of God, he is the uniquely born one. And that is because he himself is God and came to earth as a baby born of a virgin woman. That's what makes him the uniquely born one, unlike the rest of us who were born of human beings just like he was, but not in that unique way. We didn't come straight from heaven to earth. We didn't give up our deity as he did in order to tabernacle among us, live among the people with human beings as a human, and then die for us. So on this day, in this city, in this specific place, is born the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he's not an unknown person. It's not a religious ideal. He's an actual, knowable, real-life person. And the angels declare God's goodness toward humanity, and then they instruct the shepherds how to locate the family so they could meet this Messiah in person, see him with their own eyes, see this Messiah who came to earth in the form of a baby. This was so precious about this passage. God says, yes, I've done it. And now I want you to go and see for your own selves what I have done, that I am faithful, that I am the God that I have declared myself to be. You are my people. And then the angels give witness to that. Now, what's interesting is that, you know, because of how Jews have births and name, they have naming ceremonies. Jesus actually doesn't have a name that day. because they haven't, he's not been alive long enough to get his name. We know he's going to be named Jesus, right? But at that day, when the shepherds go and visit, he's just a baby, cool baby, special baby, but an unnamed baby. He hasn't been christened yet. The baby hasn't officially received a name, but the angels make it clear who he is. Verse 11 says, he is the Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord. He has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And again, we talked about it last week and the week before. When you read these passages of Scripture, God is fulfilling all the prophecies. I mean, they're all over the place. To the city of David and the traveling that Jesus did as an infant, having to go to Egypt and coming out of Egypt. All of those things long ago foretold. Right here in this passage, God declares it. Mm-hmm. Yep, remember when I said all those things back then? Today's that day. Today's that day. And that's why we as Christians around the globe stop and we celebrate. Now, we were having some of us who were out in the foyer before church started, we were talking about and laughing how some people actually believe December 25th is Jesus' birthday. It's like, nope. But it's okay. We designated this day to stop and recognize his birth. You can't even go back in time and figure out what day he was born. You could probably narrow down the month that he was born, but you're never really, how are you going to get the day? Cut that out, people. So just for a number of reasons, Sister Rhonda already knows this. It wasn't December, y'all. It just wasn't December. He was actually, I think, a fall baby. Yeah, end of summer or fall baby, right? So just based on all the things. But definitely not a December baby. So, sorry to bust any bubbles out there. Not December 25th. It's just the day that we designate, just like any other day, we commemorate a certain thing, right? So that's why we pause on December 25th and say, thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you that in all your prophecies, all the thousands of years, people waited, hundreds of years, for this Messiah to come. Thank you that today's the day you sent that baby to be born in Bethlehem of all places. And in a humble setting, in a humble environment. And then you sent witnesses so nobody could say it was only the story of Mary and Joseph. Of course, they would claim their child was the Messiah. No, it wasn't just them. There were others. Angels themselves were sent to declare, this is the special child, the one you have all been waiting for. So that night would reveal, not only reveal that Jesus would become and how he would end up demonstrating by his life who God is, and that he was the one sent to die for all. That's what that night actually signified. That night gave the shepherds themselves hope because they were Jewish believers. They too were waiting for the Messiah. And so when the angels come and say, this has actually happened? What? Wow. And then they go and see for themselves. They had hope. Hope in what that infant represented. And we know from looking at later accounts of Jesus that he proves himself to be the good shepherd just like his father. Of course, he talks about being the good shepherd to a crowd. It's recorded in John chapter 10. Remember those words? I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate.
Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures, like Psalm 23, leading your flocks by the good pastures and by still waters. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And listen to what he says in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Just like those shepherds were out there the day he was born. He says, I'm one of them. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. So those words were yet inside of him because he was still a baby. But he would grow up and become a good shepherd, just like his father, God, is the good shepherd. Just like so many that God had called, who were shepherds, to guide and to lead his people. Those were the people of Israel. But now, because we believe in the Messiah as well, we are now children of God, along with our brothers and sisters who are Jewish. We are a part of that larger flock because of Jesus. Now, isn't that fascinating? All of that right there in that short story of what had happened when Jesus was born. All of that right there. That interaction between the angels and the shepherds. We learn that that interaction testifies to God's faithfulness, because he fulfills his promise to who he is. It fulfills the promise of who God is and tells us who Jesus is. That fulfilled promise and the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd made alive in the flesh to walk among human beings, to move on to die, but not to stay dead. But those are those other days that we celebrate. But we couldn't celebrate those without this one, had he not come and been born. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you for your holy word. That's the day that heaven came to earth. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. It's so simple at times, and sometimes we just complicate it and make it difficult, and we put out a lot of extra. Forgive us, God, when we do that. Help us to just simply learn how to share the truth of who you are. That you are a God who can be known. You are a God who actually cares and loves us. You loved us so much that you sent your son, who came as a little baby and grew up and lived just like us, to model for us how to act, how to be more like you. Thank you, God, for Jesus. We thank you for his ministry, that ultimately he died. He sacrificed himself so that we could call you Father, and be in right relationship with you. Thank you for that. Help us to go from this place shining our lights, just as these candles are lit. Help our lives to be lit so that others around us may know who you are, that they can get to have that relationship as well, be engrafted into the family of God. We thank you for this. Thank you for this wonderful, glorious day to gather to celebrate the birth of your Holy One. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Amen and amen. Let's close now with a song and a beautiful benediction. Thank you.
Word has become flesh. Emmanuel has come to us, O ground him all the earth. Crowned by the angel choir, they tell his royal birth. Sing glory in the highest height, and peace upon the earth. They break the silent night, announcing endless birth. The King of grace and love is here, oh, crown him all the world. Crowned by their royal gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, wise men approach this manger throne with honors from afar. Behold the Son of God, and bow down in this place. The Prince of Peace has come to us. Oh, crown him with your praise. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns, all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing. God sent his Son for me. Now hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Awake, my soul, and sing. God sent his Son for me. Now hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity.
Amen. Thank you to our song leaders. Thank you, Sister Rhonda, for playing. I have a Christmas benediction from John Armstrong. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Peace be with you until we see each other again.